God didn't have to do it. Didn't owe us a thing. But he provided for every need. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. Flowing from my heart. Come on, say it. Give the choir another hand. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you to our services today. We're grateful that we celebrate the veterans. We celebrate their service. We celebrate our young people. And we celebrate God's goodness. Amen. Amen. He is a faithful God. He will never fail. God has made some promises and that are incredible. And we certainly want to keep our focus on Him. Amen. I've got a couple of things wanted to share with you, those that are joining online. We do have some things going on here at church. New members class that will be right after this service today. We also want to recognize Terry Yearwood and her family in the loss of Deacon Blackwell. That service will be on tomorrow at the Elm Grove Baptist Church in Reidsville. And service time will be 1 o'clock. I believe we've got the bus that's going. Am I right? Somebody give me a yay or nay. Okay. All right, so we bus will be leaving here, I believe, around 10 o'clock. We'll be departing Crossroad for that memorial service. Please keep the family in prayer, as well as other families that have lost loved ones. We're certainly praying for them. Today is the first day of our sign-up for our Christmas banquet that's coming up in December. So please stop by if you want to be a part of that. Stop by and be included in that list. It is first come, first serve. So if you're late, oh well, yeah, you can have dinner, but amen. I seriously, though, we will need everyone to sign up as soon as possible. Amen. Now, I also want to share with you that the incredible thing is that God is still in control regardless of what we see happen in our world today. And I'm going to ask you to do something. You may not want to do it, but when you do it, you're going to be in the will of God. Pray for your elected president. Amen. You're going to be doing the right thing. You're going to be doing the right thing. God makes no mistakes, and we've got to make sure that we're supporting what God does. Amen. Pray for one another because we need strength. Our nation needs to be healed. We've got to come together, and we've got to be right with God and then right with one another. Amen? Amen. If you do that, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them, it's going to be all right. Amen. I want to invite your attention today to Matthew chapter 24. We're still talking about the threats, things that we will be facing in the end time, how that we need to keep our focus not on ourselves but on the Lord. And to be focused on our walk with Him. Because in Christ we have victory. In Christ we are overcomers. In Christ we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We've got to believe that and we've got to trust in God every day of our lives. Matthew 24 verse 10 through 13. This is Jesus speaking in response to the question that was asked by the disciples, what shall be the signs of the end time? And here's some of the verses that Jesus included. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Thus end the reading of God's word. Just for a few minutes, we want to talk about What happened to the love? What happened to the love? Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. I pray that you'd bless us now. Help us as we share your word, that we would present it clearly, boldly, but also, God, that you would be glorified. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you will do. In the precious name of your Son, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I don't know how much you all enjoyed some of those songs in the 60s. And you probably want to forget about them, but Supremes came out with a song, Where Did Our Love Go? You know, that would be a good question to ask our country. Where's the love gone? What's happened to the respect and the honor that we should be giving to one another? And so as we think about this, Jesus said that this would be one of the signs, one of the things that you would note that is happening in the end time is the loss or the lack of love. I'm going to share some things in this message that will help us, because we need to understand that because the world doesn't have love and doesn't know how to show love, that does not prevent the child of God, the servant of the Lord, the believer in Christ. That does not prevent them from walking in this power and in this grace that we call the love of God. The Bible tells us that the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you've got God's love, when you possess that in your heart and in your mind, you possess something that is world-changing. You possess something that is powerful. But you also possess something that is uniquely God. Uniquely God. So let's think about this. Let's examine this, what Jesus is talking about. I want to review the 10 threats. We won't go through all of them in detail because today we're going to be talking about the lack of love. But the first one is deception, followed by fear, followed by hopelessness, followed by restlessness. And then we look at lack of compassion, lack of love, rage, wickedness, idolatry, perversion, selfishness. All of these things will dominate the minds of people and will so influence their lives. I don't know whether you've seen it or observed it yet, but you will see it. You will see it. Our nation and the world is becoming more and more filthy. And it's almost like when you come to church, you get a spiritual bath. Some way you relieve the burden from off of your heart. And you ask God to give you cleansing. That's why we need fellowship with one another. And that's why we need fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Amen. We have to know that He is in complete control of everything. So what does it mean for the world to lack compassion or to not have love? Now, don't think of this as only being a Western culture thing. This is global. This is everywhere. Jesus said one of the things that will happen is that there will be wars and rumors of war. Why that? Because people have forgotten how to love one another. The other day, I'm thinking, you know, on my way to church, you know, my wife and I were going out to the church and I'm in a spiritual mood. Somebody cut me off in traffic. Some of y'all are saying, well, Reverend Coleman, I know you did the right thing. Let's just say I had to pray. It's easy for us to get swept up into these things and to allow the world to influence how we perform, how we act, and how we respond to the situations that will come out. That's why Jesus was warning the disciples, this is going to happen around you. It's going to be a part of your world, but it should not be a part of you. I'll give you the reason why in just a second as we look at these verses. So we see Jesus teaching us something here, letting us know that in the end time, because iniquity, sin, is so rampant in the world that it's going to influence people so much that they're going to hate one another. They're going to hate one another. Even to the point where hatred is not even justified. So let's look at this. What are the consequences? What are the consequences if we deny God's love? If we say, you know what? I don't want God's love in my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have God's love in your heart, you have no love at all. You've lost the capacity. There's no way to love unless you love God. And what God wants to do by offering himself, he's saying to you, I want to give you a supply of my love. I want you to have what I have, and that when you have that, you will be complete. You will now know how to care for one another, and you will know how to live in this world. Is that a good deal for us? He's giving it to us. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to say, well, I gotta try to work on this. You cannot work on it. God has to impart it unto you. He has to give it to you. And we'll get into that in just a second. So Jesus is dealing with two extremes here. He's talking about two basic things that are now in operation. One is what we call the presence of sin. Notice he says sin is abounding, controlling, taking over, ruling the lives of people. That's the one part. Now, if you think that, well, that's just for the criminal on the street, that's just for the pimps, the prostitutes, and all the folks that are out there on the street, there are criminals wearing Wall Street suits. There are criminals operating in the halls of government. But you cannot say, well, you know what, these folks, they're criminals here, and these folks, they're criminals there. Without the grace of God, every one of us will be a criminal. My wife had to call me in check the other day. And God pulled out in front of me and had the audacity to not just get in front of me, but to pass all the way over to the other lane. And I'm on the horn. I'm going to tell y'all now, it was a time of great conflict. And my wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm letting them know that they were wrong. That is the core of what people want others to see. They want others to say, I am right and you are wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, that is bringing up a number one sin, which is pride. Pride seeks to say, how dare you cross my path, cut me off, flip me the bird? How dare you? But we want to justify ourselves, when honestly, all of us are guilty. The only thing that prevents sin from abounding in your life is the presence of Jesus Christ. Same way you take medicine to keep you from getting sick. Take medicine for diabetes. Take medicine for heart problems. The lady told me, said, you got a heart issue. If you don't take this medicine, it's not going to help you. The blood of Jesus Christ is our spiritual medicine to overcome the power of sin, because you can't control it. I'm going to do better. A lot of people tried and failed. I'm going to live a better life. A lot of people tried it and failed. But when you turn it over to the Lord, when you let God have his way in your life, that's why we serve him. We don't come to church just to show, look, I can wear some Sunday clothes, I can put. No, we come because we are sinners in need of God's grace. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. But thanks be to God, when his blood washes us, we become children of the Most High God. God does an awesome work in our life. And Jesus said, sin is going to abound. It's going to be everywhere in the last days. You're going to find it everywhere. Let me share with you, especially for our young people. I ran across this the other day. It's in 2 Timothy. I'm going to read it now because I don't think I put it on the screen, but I'm going to read it for our young people because it talks about something in this verse that I think our young people need to hear. 2 Timothy, and I believe it's chapter 3. Listen what it says. Young people, y'all listen up. Get your ears ready. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfie. Right? Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Young people, listen to this now. Disobedient to parents. The Bible said that this would happen. Now, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that like all the rest of us, you're a sinner, and if you don't allow Christ, if you don't allow him to come into your life and to take charge of your life, guess what? You're going to be disobedient to parents. You're going to fall right into what the Bible says should not be happening. The only thing that can prevent that is Christ. He has a list of other things that he talks about in this verse, and we'll bring those up just a little bit later. But the point is, sin is everywhere. It's promoted in our media. Everywhere you look, people are saying, do this and be happy. Get this and be happy. It's either promoting greed, pride, or lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life. It's promoting those things so that we can fall into it and say, you know what? My life will not be complete without that. Your life is only complete in Christ. Amen. Only going to be complete in Christ. Jesus brings up another extreme. He said that not only sin is abounding, but he says also most. The New International Version said that most people will have their love to fail them. Most people. Thank God he didn't say all. What does it mean? When Jesus said most people or many, he said that the majority of people in this world will be swept up into this thing of allowing themselves to let sin abound, and because of that, they will lack love. They will lack love. People that are angry at you will go to all extremes to show that they're angry at you. And the only thing that can put the brakes on it is the grace of Jesus Christ. I thank God. I'm so grateful that I get to go to church where I can get rid of some of this stuff. I thank God that I can get together with other people, you know, and no one should have to beg you to come to go to church. No one should have to twist your arm to get in here, because when you get in here, God is saying, I'm going to do a work in your life. I'm going to straighten you out. I'm going to help you to think right. I'm going to help you to live right. I'm going to help you to walk right. The grace of God begins to move on you. The power of the Holy Spirit begins to correct your thinking. And the next thing you know, your whole world is turned around. Because God came in. Don't you love that? Jesus said most people, but he didn't say all. Now, as of Friday when I did my research, it's more now, almost 8.2 billion people living on this planet. By the way, if you have a chance, go and look at this thing called the population clock. Go look at it. It'll amaze you. It accounts for the people that are dying, but it also measures the people that are being born. And the clock in the world is going like this, adding people just about every second, accounting for the people that have lost their lives or no longer living. 8.1 billion people on the planet, 337 million in the United States, the third largest population in the world, and the majority of those are haters. The only one can turn this around is us. Somebody got to start praying. Somebody got to start asking God, Lord, have your way. Because you know what? The last time I read it, The Bible said God so loved the world. He loves us, and we hating one another. Hating one another because, well, you got more than what I got. Hating one another because, oh, you wore something that I got in my closet. Now I can't wear it. What are you hating for? Look at somebody, tell them, get rid of the hate. And Lord knows, I don't know what to say about, I don't know what to say about people who simply hate people because you're not my color. God decorated me. He's the one that picked this color. We've got to get to the place where we are educated enough in God to where we can get back and say, Lord, the world that you made is good. And I'm going to do my part to celebrate your goodness and let folk know that you are the living God. Amen. As we dig deeper into this subject, a couple of things I want to bring out. Jesus talked about the two extremes, but I want to bring out a couple of things. The first is, get this in your mind. Love comes from one source and one source alone, and that source is God. You don't get it from any place else but God Almighty. When you go to God, He is the God that loves us. I wrote a verse down here that I think every one of us should recognize. It's in 1 John chapter 3, or chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is what? Love. God declared it himself. He said, I'm love. If you want to know, now he could have said, I'm righteousness. He could have said, I'm truth. He could have said that I'm power, because he's all of that and more. But God chose to describe himself as love. Where are you going to get love from? And the question is asked, where did our love go? It left God out. And when you leave God out, there's nothing left. Emptiness. And because there's emptiness in the hearts of people, now they're scrambling, trying to fill their life with something that won't fit. Because they're leaving out the one that will give them love. People don't love themselves. How in the world can they love you? People don't respect themselves. How in the world can they respect you? You know, one of the things we don't talk about is that October is also was Domestic Violence Prevention Month. And we don't talk about that. Because here are people in a family reunion, a family unit, hating one another. Why? Lack of love. If you get God, guess what you got? You got love. Amen. Look at somebody right now. I know you all sitting there, and parents, y'all probably got your kids sitting beside you, and some of you, look at that person, tell them you love them. Love is of God, and he that loves is born of God, and he knows God. But not only that, there's another issue that we got to deal with, love of self. That's something you got to pray over every day. Because that joker that looks you back in the mirror, they're tricky now. They'll tell you, oh, you look good, when you know you're getting old, right? But seriously, we got an issue. Because it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, that one of the issues is that people will become lovers of pleasure, lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. When you tip that scale, when that scale starts tipping in the direction of you loving yourself more than you love God, God ain't in trouble. All right? He can do without you. All right? Let's get that straight. But you can't do without him. All right? Now, I know some of us are content in just coming to church once a week, and I commend you for it. I thank God for it. Crossroad, you're a blessing, but you're going to need him every day. Because that scale that says, I love me, and I want to take care of me, that's going to start tipping toward you. Now you're in trouble. Ain't got nerve enough to post stuff on social media. All right? All because you love yourself. Now you're going to put stuff out there for the world to look at. Man, am I preaching today? I'm going to show me doing something stupid. And I'm going to put it on TikTok. So here you go. Loving yourself instead of saying, wait a minute, I don't want everybody to know about this. I'm going to put it out there before the world. Now, get mad when people respond to you and they don't like you. I don't care if you don't like me. I'm going to get you off my face. I'm going to unfriend you. Am I helping somebody today? Here's the good news. When you know that God loves you, your cup will burst wide open. Your cup will overflow. When you know that God loves you, you don't need the acceptance of the world. If folks like you, that's fine. If they don't like you, keep on stepping. Because God says, I love you. Every morning that you wake up, every time he lets the breath go in and out of your lungs, he's telling you, I love you. How much do I love you? I love you so much that I got up on a cross. I love you so much that I started bleeding. I love you so much that I allowed them to nail me to a tree. That's how much I love you. And if you ever doubt that I love you, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to remind you how much I love you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Y'all excuse me, but I get excited when I talk about God's love. Your love might be running out, but when you get into the supply of God's love, you got plenty of it. You got plenty of it. No one could love you more than God does. I know my girl Gladys Knight sung, no one could love you more. Gladys was playing. See what she? Gladys was playing. Gladys Knight was playing. God loves you. And what we try to tell people every Sunday is that when you respond to that love of God, it changes your life. Your walk changes. Your conversation changes. People can put you down, but you can still square your shoulders and hold your head up high because you know that the love of God is now inside of you. Don't allow these things of the world to sweep you away. The last point I want to make is that love, or lack of love, plus sin equals hate-filled people. Haters. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:3, I believe it says, that they will be despisers of that which is good. The law says go 55. We'll look around. If you don't see no blue lights, let it fly. And we think, okay, I'm good. As long as I get away with it, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But it's not right. What are we in a hurry for? That's the first question I want to ask. What are you in a hurry for? To get old? Is that what you're rushing for? You better pump the brakes real fast and say, okay, I need to slow this thing down here. Despisers of that which is good. People are doing that today. Getting away with whatever they can and getting over on whomever they can, all to say, I got more than what you do. And the Bible warns us, what shall it profit anyone to gain the whole wide world and lose the soul? That's why when you as a Christian, watch this now, I'm gonna put this on you now. When you as a Christian, you trying to get out here and do what everybody else is doing, but you're gonna stick out like a sore thumb. Try to cuss like everybody else, then you find out, oh, Lord, where'd that come from? Try to get out and party like everybody else. Find out that the party life doesn't give the reward. But when you got the love of Christ in your heart, it satisfies you. Jesus said, no mistake about it, the love of many shall wax cold. Let me hurry up and bring this thing to an end here. My wife is giving me a sign back there. She's waving at me saying, you okay? Yeah. A couple of things I wrote down that every believer needs to keep in mind. Don't lose your cool because everybody else is losing theirs. Amen. Don't lose your security because everybody else is losing theirs. The Lord is still your shepherd. Amen. And he'll take care of every need in your life. All you got to do is love him. Yes. As a matter of fact, you don't have to fabricate your love. All you got to do is give him back what he gave to you. And God will bless you. Every believer needs to understand that when these last days come about, first of all, God's love will never fail. I said it will never fail. Why? Psalm 23 says, surely what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You read the Bible in Psalms, it tells you that his mercy endures forever. Now, mercy is an extension of God's love. In the Hebrew, it really meant a couple of things when you had God's mercy. It says, first of all, you cannot put out God's love. You cannot stop God from loving, but you can get to a place where you're unable to respond to it. You can get to a place where you can put yourself in a condition where now you don't want to respond and you can't respond. It's called a reprobate mind. That's another thing that's going to happen in these end times, that people will develop a reprobate mind, totally lawless, never wanting to do anything good. But thank God the Lord is a mind regulator. He's a heart fixer. How do I know? Because he fixed my heart. When he showed me his love, I didn't respond to him just because he was a God of justice. I responded because somebody opened up the Bible and told me, Coleman, God loves you. Amen. And I came to him just as I was. And it changed my life. God's love never fails. Say that with me. God's love, never fails. God's love never fails. Second thing about it, everyone is not a hater if you love Jesus. Jesus said many, but he didn't say all. And Reverend Gibbons said all is all, and that's what all means. He didn't say all people will lack love, but just some. That left room for everybody. That left room for anybody that will say, God, I need your love. And guess what God do? He'll fill your cup to overflowing. John 13 and verse 35, when Jesus gave a description of what the disciples would look like and how they would act, he didn't say that they would be my disciples because they wear a certain type of clothes. He didn't say that they would be my disciples because they use a certain type of language. He said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. My question to you today, do you have it? My second question to you today, are you showing it? Because you can't just have it and not give it. If you got it, you got to give it. If you have it on the inside, it's going to show up on the outside. You're going to love somebody. And you're going to show them that God's love is real. Finally, love is the Christian's mark of excellence. Every time I read this verse, I get excited. I get excited about this verse. Turn to it, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. If you don't listen to anything else I've said today, I'm getting ready to take my seat. But I tell you what, I'm glad I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Remember that old song, I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Behold, what manner of what? Love the Father hath bestowed upon us, gifted to us. He gave it to us. What kind of love is this that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore, the world does not know him. It knows us not because what? It knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, look at this, we shall be like him. I'm going to look like Jesus. Look at somebody, tell him, keep on loving. When you love, you're looking like Jesus every day. Look at somebody else, tell him, keep on loving. Bible goes on to say that, beloved, we are now the sons of God. Does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when you see him, you're going to be looking at pure love. You're going to be looking at grace, and that grace is going to remind you that when you first met the Lord, how many of y'all remember when you first met the Lord? Choir just sung, he picked you up and turned you around, changed you. Nobody has to tell you to live right. Nobody has to tell you that this is the way you walk. You got something on the inside working on the outside. You got the grace of God in your heart. God loves you. And he wants you to share that love in this world that is starving. It's starving for it. Now you go feed them. Give them what you got. Give them the Lord and bless somebody's life. Here's a little prayer I want us to pray together. So say it together. Heavenly Father, in a world filled with hate, bless us to show your great love. Give us your grace and mercy so that we will endure the trials of life. Help us to always be your witnesses by giving us the boldness to stand for Christ and in the power of Christ. May we always, say it again, may we always be filled with your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, I've got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. How did the old folks say it? Without Christ, without hope, and without love in this world. one source where you can get it from, and that's from the Lord himself. Is there one today, you're not a part of the church, but you want to be a part of it? Maybe you're online and you want to say, preacher, what you said, help me. That's you, correspond with us. You can't come in here, but you can correspond with us at our website, crossroadbc.com. And just say, what can I do to give God charge of my life? If you're in here and you feel the move of the Spirit, let God have his way. God have his way. And dismiss us in prayer. And remember, we have the new members class right after service. I'm sorry, Sean.
Just one more second. To our veterans, as you are leaving today, we do have a printout of restaurants and stores that have freebies for you on tomorrow, including meals. So again, a printout for freebies for our veterans on tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you for the message. Father, we thank you. You have given us, oh God, a wonderful opportunity to come together in this sanctuary to listen to your word. And we do pray that the Holy Spirit of God will lead and guide us to share what we have received with others who do not know how to demonstrate the love of God. May we be that example. Father, here we are so thankful that you have given us the opportunity to give. You know our hearts. And that we will be able, oh God, to practice the love of God by what we do with the resources that you have provided for us, so that we can do it faithfully and wholeheartedly, so that men and women, boys and girls, may have an opportunity to hear the word of God proclaimed and trust him in a world that do not know how to love. So thank you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church see.